All right, guys. Thanks to everyone for being on the call today. We have David Boyles from BOFI, and everyone should have the information in front of them about the programs they offer. Obviously, they do specialize in multifamily housing. At this time, I'm just going to kind of let David take it away and give some background on himself, his company, and we can go over the program. So go ahead, David.
Thank you, Megan. My name is David Boyles, and I encourage each of you to reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm with BofI Federal Bank. We're an FDIC-insured federal savings bank. Our corporate headquarters is in San Diego. I'm located in Newport Beach, and we are a branchless bank. And so our value proposition is because we do not have the infrastructure of a branch retail network. We can save the cost of that and become a very efficient bank and pass those savings on, both in terms of higher rates on our CDs and our deposits, and in lower rates on our loan products. We lend on stabilized multifamily, 5 units and above apartment projects, but also student housing, mobile home parks, mixed-use products, for instance, where there's a ground floor retail with residential units above, senior housing without an assisted living component. We also loan on small balance commercial loans on multi-tenant investment properties such as retail shopping centers, industrial parks, office buildings, medical office buildings, and self-storage facilities. Having said that, we are nationwide, but we do not lend in every market across the nation. We have a very strong appetite for the Pacific Northwest. We love mobile home parks and urban locations, and we love student housing near major universities. We love medical office buildings near major hospital facilities. We are able to offer, and I've indicated this in my summary, very low institutional pricing selectively to borrowers with credit challenges in their histories. So having said that, I invite your inquiries and your questions, your scenarios, and I invite your business.
All right, David, thank you so much for that. Everyone does kind of have your overview, and we can see the core markets and everything. I'm just kind of pulling up. This is kind of just a generic question real quick I just wanted to ask you, and then I'll open it up to see if they have any questions. But what is the lowest FICO that you guys would go down to? Because typically on rates like this, you know, that you guys offer, we're telling borrowers they really need to have a 680 or higher, but maybe you can give me some background on that.
Well, it is a gray area, and it starts being gray like many lenders in the 680 range. But in terms of the lowest, because we are a relatively small bank, I mean, a $3 billion bank is not the biggest. Mm-hmm. One of the things we do is we listen to the story. Why is the FICO so low? And in many cases, I've closed a loan with 534 mid FICO. And admittedly, a medical collection had just hit her credit, right, the prior month. So she lost a lot because it was just so recent. There was also a short sale in her history that we had talked about and presented when we submitted our initial LOI request for a letter of interest.
Mm-hmm.
So the typical scenario where I'm able to deliver is a property that is well occupied and well operated with a borrower who is well qualified, but, you know, regretfully may have something less than an ideal credit history. And if they've had a BK or a foreclosure, tax liens, and you see that in my summary, short sales, if it's been a single item, and if they've been current on all other obligations, if they have demonstrated the ability to save, and we usually evidence that by having strong going-in liquidity. If it was the result of a single event that has since been resolved, and we can give the management the bank's management team confidence that it's not going to happen again,
mm-hmm.
then we have a very high probability of delivering that loan.
Okay. So you guys don't actually have like a rule, it sounds like. There's no, like a lot of lenders will say, hey, you cannot have any, you know, BK short sales, any type of problem for the past 1 to 2 years. It seems like it's more just, obviously the issue has to be solved, and does it make sense to move forward?
Correct. They cannot, now they cannot have any open issues with other FDIC insured banks or lenders. And certainly,
okay.
you know, we can work with somebody on an IRS payment plan.
Okay.
But otherwise, if their issues are open, then we have to find some way how our loan will solve their problem,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so they could have like working with a bank A on a short sale, but we have to resolve that before we record our loan, or the cash out proceeds from our loan has to help the borrower resolve that issue.
Okay, that was actually going to be my next question for you guys. So you guys do allow cash out?
Which... We're great cash out lenders, and those opportunities, for instance, individuals oftentimes will close with all cash on a sale opportunity because they, you know, not only they all cash, it allows them to close faster.
Mm-hmm.
They will process those refinance applications, just like it was a sale transaction, maximum 75% LTV and a 1.25 debt service coverage.
Okay, I'm just taking some notes here because I'm going to send out a recap to everyone after. So that's really all the questions I have for you. I just want to open it up real quick to see if any of the other reps had any questions. Hey, guys. I just want to make sure everyone, okay, now I can hear people. Everyone is unmuted. Go ahead.
I have a question. It's Victoria.
Please.
Hi, Megan.
Hey, Victoria.
Hi. My question is about the senior housing. You mentioned senior housing. Would that be a senior housing complex, or would it be an individual place? And if it's a complex, does it have to be fully rented out already?
Thank you for asking. Because we lend on 5 units and above, or with regards to, you know, student housing, 5 beds, we look at on a per bed unit with student. But with regards to senior housing, 5 units and above, so I usually envision that, and we typically deliver on projects that are marketed to specifically seniors, and they may be deed restricted or they may not be, right? I should distinguish that from assisted living facility. I don't have a product for an assisted living facility, but I do have a project for effectively apartment units targeted for seniors.
Okay, so when you mention assisted living, you mean like a place where an individual has a home and part of it is used to take care of seniors, is that what you mean? Or a complex that's actually taking care of seniors that can partly take care of themselves too? Is there a difference?
Yes.
Or?
Yes, there is. And in both cases, for instance, a single family home that is being used as an assisted living, for assisted living, they prepare their food, perhaps remind them about their medications, different levels of care. I unfortunately do not have a product for that.
Okay.
But if it's simply an apartment project, not a single family home, but an apartment project.
Okay.
That is targeted towards senior occupants, senior tenants, that is a preferred product type. For instance, a mobile home park that is senior restricted in St. Petersburg, the Tampa Bay area, Florida. is something we've recently closed on, and management expressed an interest for more of that type of product. And, you know, senior facilities often do well in Florida, and they've just felt a high-quality, well-occupied, well-operated mobile home park would have long-term, you know, value to it. So they were very aggressive in their pricing on that product. I guess
okay,
that's an example. Does that help?
Yeah, it helps, but how much of it has to be rented out? Because does it have to be fully rented?
Good question. We typically look for stabilized or near-stabilized property, right? So the property should be, you know, well leased up to stabilized levels. Or if it's just being leased up, we should be able to project when it will achieve stabilized occupancy and expect a condition that it achieved that level prior to close. So if we have 10 units, if we have a new project that's 10 units and we've leased 6 of them, and we think over the next 2 months we're going to lease three more, and we're going to have at least 90% occupancy on those 10 units, then we should start that process 2 months before we hit the stabilized. So it's going to take us 2 months to process the loan. The good thing about that is we do not typically require income seasoning, right? So somebody that has achieved stabilized occupancy, typically, you know, many lenders will ask that income be seasoned. If it's in a market, for instance, any of our core market areas, or a market where we can demonstrate strong fundamentals, the team will accept the contract rents going in without seasoning on that income.
Okay. I have one more question about senior mobile parks. Sometimes, it depends upon the park, some of those units are old, and then some of them are young. Newer. Does that matter how old they are?
Yes, it does. And it's interesting. But it really goes to, you know, my team will be very aggressive on mobile home parks in urban locations, infill locations where there's an absence of developable land. They will be much more forgiving on the physical characteristics of that park than they are in a more rural location where they see an abundance of developable land. So the issues of the physical characteristics of, and when we talk about mobile home parks, the physical characteristics of the homes within those parks certainly have an impact, but nothing has more of an impact than the location of that park. My team is very geographically focused, and they'll have much more flexibility in a park in an infill location as opposed to an outlying area.
Okay, because Southern California has quite a few of those. I moved from there not long ago. So I'm trying
to familiar. My team will be all over any of those opportunities without question. A mobile home park in Pomona, I don't know, just, you know, give it to me and we will close on it. We've done Fontana. We've done, of course, all areas of Los Angeles, San Diego, Orange County. So certainly invite that business.
Okay, because I know those areas. I lived up there quite a while. So, yeah, that sounds good. Those are my questions. Thank you so much.
One thing we haven't talked about is we certainly invite the business of foreign national. So that's an area that my management team, or I'll just say a niche, where my management team has expressed an interest. And I want to invite that business as well.
Okay. David, I was just going to ask you about that as well. Do you guys, I had a couple questions for you as well, but on foreign nationals, I'm assuming that, you know, somehow their LTV needs to be limited. How do you guys typically work that?
Good question. It's similar to it's a max 50% LTV for foreign nationals.
Okay.
And that that achieves many of the goals of foreign nationals. I mean, many of them are, you know, moving significant funds over anyways, and it really actually works to their advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it is a maximum 50% LTV. I'm doing that now in Austin. I'm doing that now in Miami. Both of those clients are foreign nationals. So it's advantageous if they have other domestic real estate, right,
mm-hmm.
and other domestic liquidity. That's where we will focus to our greatest degree. If this is the first property that our borrower is purchasing, we may have more trouble because they, you know, they won't have, if they haven't been filing U.S. tax returns, will be obstructed.
Yes.
So many of them have real business investments that are domestic here in the United States where they have been filing tax returns, not necessarily real estate, and they then present their first real estate opportunity. Yes, we certainly invite that business. I would like to look at any of those scenarios.
Okay. I just had a question for you too, because I was looking over your rate matrices. What is really like the highest LTV you guys typically issue on a mobile home park, like a 65-70% LTV?
No, they'll go full to a full 75% LTV.
Oh, that's awesome. Most lenders won't do that. It's just because they're very unique property types. So that's really cool that you guys hook up to such a high LTV on a mobile home park. And I just have one more quick question for you, and then I'll let everyone else go. When you were talking about income seasoning, did you mean what exactly did you mean like that? Because you know we work a lot with like velocity and lenders like that where you don't mm-hmm. have to prove, you know, you don't even have to prove sometimes where your down money is coming from on a purchase. They just ask for literally like one bank statement to prove the borrower has the down money, and of course their closing associated closing costs. Obviously,
that's
on
not,
any type of
yeah.
purchase, yeah. What did you mean by they don't have to document income seasoning?
The income that the subject property is generating does not have to have been in place for an extended period of time. And I'm thinking of the example might be a new property
mm-hmm.
that has recently been leased up.
Okay.
Some lenders like that occupancy to be sustained for, you know, a year, 6 months, before
mm-hmm.
they will underwrite based on the current income. And I'm saying that in strong markets or in any of our core market areas, the team will go ahead and underwrite based on the contract income as soon as it's achieved.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, even our stated lenders sometimes will require 2 years that the property must be producing very strong income before they'll do something like that. That's always a gray
yeah.
area for us when we have rehabbers that are experienced and do a fix and flip.
Sure.
The takeout
sure.
is always difficult because they may need a stated loan or something a little bit
sure.
more kind of bank alternate, and it's hard because that property needs to be producing income for some time.
We have one of the issues that for, you know, we have an ownership seasoning criteria where our LTV, not our loan, whether or not we'll deliver a loan, but the amount of the leverage is sometimes constrained if the owner has owned the property 2 years or less. In
mm-hmm.
that case, my management team will base their LTV calculation on the current value or the borrower's cost basis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And often that is his acquisition price plus his mm-hmm. hard renovation cost or
mm-hmm.
capital improvements.
Yeah.
So somebody that has purchased a property at $2 million and invested another $500,000 over the last 6 months and a property now has a basis of $2.5 million, the market value may easily be $3 million. My team will base their LTV calculations on the cost basis, $2.5 million in that example. That often achieves somebody's objectives when they're trying to access the equity in that property. But it's often not able to maximize their loan proceeds until they've owned that property at least 2 years. And even then, my team does like to have a borrower that has what's called skin in the game. Mm-hmm. So I invite that business, but can I always cash out a borrower? Not always, not when he has recently acquired the property. So that may obstruct us in situations where, say, income seasoning would not obstruct you, or vice versa. But in any case, we're often able to achieve a borrower's goals, and we do that. We love that business.
Okay. All right. Guys, does anyone have any more questions for David about his programs? All right, David. I just want to see if there's anything else you wanted to, any other highlights you wanted to go over? Or?
No, just any, I invite your inquiries, and I'm immediately available. Thank you very much.
Yeah, David, thank you so much for the call. And we're hoping to get you some good-sized loans. I mean, we didn't go over this, but maybe we should mention real quick that the minimum loan amount is $300,000.
On multifamily products, my minimum loan amount is $300,000. On the commercial real estate product, the minimum loan amount is $750,000. Those are both relatively low thresholds, and there's many lenders that will drop off on the multifamily side at under a million or under 500,000. The loans do become more expensive the lower the loan amount. Mm-hmm. But that is one of the items that make us America's apartment lender, so to speak, is mm-hmm. because we do have a relatively low loan amount threshold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, no, thank you so much for all the information. This was really, really helpful. What we're going to do, too, is we're going to send an e-blast out tonight about your programs to all of our borrowers in our database. So we're hoping to get some good loans over to you.
I'll be all over your business. Thank you, Megan.
All right. Thank you so much, David.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.